Welcome to Episode 1 in Lives of the Saints. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. This series is based upon a set of homilies I wrote for use in my parish for Tuesday night Holy Communion in 2007 and 2008. The originals were word pictures on the lives of the saints, both Eastern and Western. For this new video series, I have added, where available, icons, paintings, mosaics, stained glass windows, and other images, and where possible, the words of the saints themselves. The videos will be offered in two series. The first series celebrates the lives of each of the 18 saints with feast days or holy days in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. These are the saints that remained when, with the publication of the first Book of Common Prayer in 1549 AD, the Church of England eliminated all names not mentioned in Scripture. Over the generations, many of the saints left out of the 1549 list, plus the names of notables who had made outstanding contributions to the church since 1549, have been added back into a non-official list of saints. The second series is focused on the lives of more than two dozen saints from both the Western and Eastern Church traditions, including the AIC's patron saint, John Chrysostom. Each episode of both series will be available in both video and podcast versions. The music used for the series is Horatio Nelson's hymn, From All the Saints in Warfare, using the version printed in the 1892 Episcopal Hymnal in the United States, and which I added to the St. Chrysostom hymnal used in my former parish. The hymn includes a unique verse 2 for each of the saints named in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. The hymn is played to the tune Aurelia, primarily remembered as the tune for the church's one foundation. The recording, used in several forms and lengths in the series, was produced in the United Kingdom by Richard Irwin, whose website, www.hymnswithoutwords.com, includes access to many traditional Anglican hymns and tunes. I thank Richard Irwin for granting permission for its use in this series. The purpose of the series is to help revive the modern understanding of the sacrifices made by the saints in preserving the Christian faith so that we might have the opportunity today to continue to worship in the apostolic tradition. Many, but not all, of the saints on this list gave their lives as martyrs for the faith. Others generated writings and actions which enhanced the common understanding of apostolic doctrine in particular and the Christian faith in general. The illustration for this and the next slide is All Creation Rejoiceth in Thee, a Byzantine Orthodox icon painted by the celebrated icon artist Georgios Klotsas on Crete in the late 16th century. It shows the Blessed Virgin holding Jesus in her lap, sitting upon the seraphim, surrounded by Adam and Eve and all creation, including the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament evangelists, plus many saints and hierarchs of the Eastern Church. The city at the bottom represents the heavenly New Jerusalem described in Revelation 21. A reproduction of the icon is available from St. Isaac the Syrian's Gate at www.skete.com. The icon is one of 11 on the wall in my office, and which is visible in the background on my personal Facebook page. These will not be encyclopedic in scope. They are spiritual-minded commentaries on the life of each saint, including a brief biographical summary, commentary on what it is about them that caused them to be honored, and the location of their remains, if known, the collect for their feast day, and the unique verse 2 from All the Saints in Warfare. The length will vary depending upon how much is known about each saint. The first saint to be honored in the first series is Saint Andrew, whose feast day or holy day is November 30th. The illustration is a circa 1898 AD stained glass window in the 15th century Church of Our Lady at St. Troyden, which is in Limburg, Belgium. The window is part of a series on the 12 apostles. The identity of the artist was not available from the source of the illustration. St. Andrew's name in Greek, Andrea, means valor or manhood, and there is no Hebrew equivalent. St. Andrew is included in the list of the 12 apostles in all four Gospels plus Acts of the Apostles. St. Andrew is always listed as one of the first four. However, church tradition in both the Eastern and the Western Church grants St. Andrew the title First Called of the Apostles. The title First Called of the Apostles is largely the result of St. John's identification of St. Andrew as a follower of St. John the Baptist, who had identified Jesus as the Christ, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," in John 1:35. St. Andrew speaks only twice in Scripture, both times in St. John's Gospel, the first being this from John 1, verses 40, 41, and part of 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. St. John's account is reinforced in Matthew 4:18-22, in which St. Andrew and St. Peter are identified as the first two who were called. Beyond the inclusion of his name in all four Gospels and Acts and the two quotations which will be read in this series, very little is known in Scripture about Andrew. The next we hear of St. Andrew in the Gospels, St. Mark reports him living in a house in Capernaum with his brother, St. Peter, where they were joined by Jesus and the other two set of brothers who became apostles, James and John. That's from Mark 1:29. Capernaum was the center of Hebrew culture in the primarily Gentile region of the Galilee. The illustration is a Greek Orthodox icon of St. Mark painted by the celebrated icon artist Emmanuel Zanis in 1657. It is again in the Gospel of St. John in which St. Andrew speaks for the second and last time in Scripture. In his account of the feeding of the 5,000, the fourth sign from the Greek Simeon, which Jesus did in Galilee, St. John reported that the apostles wondered whether there would be enough to feed the multitudes. St. Andrew was the one who gave voice to doubt, saying in John 6:9, "There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" Lest you think less of St. Andrew, you should remember that it was not only Andrew, or later in the Gospel of John, St. Thomas, who had doubts. St. John himself reports that it was only after Jesus' death and resurrection that he and others truly believed all that Jesus had said. The illustration is a watercolor with charcoal over gray wove paper by French artist James Tissot of the Feeding of the 5,000 painted in the late 19th century. St. John also wrote of St. Andrew and St. Philip speaking with Jesus on Palm Sunday or the day after in John 12, verses 20 to 22. The Gospel accounts say that all 12 were present at the Last Supper. What St. Andrew did or said after the resurrection is not known in Scripture. The first church historian Eusebius, writing in the 4th century, reported that St. Andrew was active in Scythia, one of the regions beyond the Straits of the Bosporus that are now part of Romania and Bulgaria. The illustration for this and the next slide is the calling of Andrew and John, drawn in watercolor and charcoal over gray wove paper by the artist James Tissot. In the Eastern Church tradition, St. Andrew is credited with missionary work in all the western areas of Asia Minor and is honored as the founder of the See of Byzantium. Byzantium was then little more than a village. It is said that St. Andrew consecrated Stachys as the first bishop of Byzantium in 38 AD. 3 centuries later, following the relocation of the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire to Constantinople during the rule of the first Christian emperor Constantine at the start of the 4th century, the See of Byzantium became known as the See of Constantinople. When Pope Benedict XVI visited Turkey in November 2004, in his closing remarks he acknowledged that the two brothers, St. Andrew and St. Peter, were the founders of the two sister churches of Christendom, the Roman and the Byzantine, now commonly called the Orthodox Church. The illustration is a Byzantine Orthodox icon of St. Andrew painted in tempera and gilt on a wood panel in the Greek region of Macedonia in the 14th century. It was probably part of a church iconostasis. The original is in the Walters Art Museum in Baltimore, which bought the work in the early 1930s. In the traditions of the Eastern and Western Church, there is agreement that St. Andrew died a martyr's death at Patras in Achaia, Greece, on November 30th, somewhere around the year 50 AD. Again, according to tradition, instead of crucifixion as Christ had died, nailed to a cross, St. Andrew, saying he was not worthy to die in the same way, was tied to an X-shaped cross called the Saltire Cross in the Western tradition. Traditional depictions of St. Andrew, such as the one in the mosaic at the Cathedral of St. Andrew, Amalfi, Italy, in the illustration, show the X-shaped cross, now called the Cross of St. Andrew. Note that St. Andrew is shown palms outward, hands raised, indicating that he was not crucified by being nailed to a cross, for there are no marks in his hands. That he is a fisherman is indicated by the two fish in the lower right. The cross of St. Andrew is used in the flags of Scotland, Amalfi, and, after the Union of England and Scotland in the early 17th century, the Union Jack flag of the United Kingdom, and was also used as the Russian naval ensign. St. Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland, Greece, Russia, and of Sicily, Amalfi, and Malta, as well as the old German state of Prussia. The relics of early saints were preserved and often installed in churches in both the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic traditions, possibly based on St. John's comment in Revelation concerning martyrs under the altar in Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. St. Andrew was buried at Patras, Greece, the place of his martyrdom. In 357 AD, his remains were taken to Constantinople, the administrative capital of the Roman Empire and home of the See of Constantinople. Sometime in the years immediately after the Crusader conquest of Constantinople in 1204 AD, the remains of St. Andrew were stolen as spoils of war and taken to Amalfi, Italy, where a cathedral was built to house them. In the 15th century, most but not all of these relics were taken to Rome and placed in the new Basilica of St. Peter. In 1964, Roman Catholic Pope Paul VI, in a gesture of conciliation with the Greek Orthodox Church, returned to its custody a little finger, the top plate of the cranium of St. Andrew's skull, and part of the cross on which he was martyred, which had been kept at Marseille since the Middle Ages. These were placed in a special crypt in the Byzantine-style Cathedral of St. Andrew at Patras, the largest church in Greece and one of the largest in the Mediterranean region. The illustration is of the front of the Cathedral of St. Andrew, which was begun in the early 1900s and completed in 1974. Other traditions concerning the remains of St. Andrew tell a different story. The most popular in the Western Church is that the remains of St. Andrew were taken to Scotland and buried in Fife, about 30 miles northeast of Edinburgh. Other traditions claim that the remains of St. Andrew were brought to Scotland by St. Regulus, also called St. Rule, around the 7th century. The relics associated with St. Regulus are now in the Metropolitan Cathedral of St. Mary in Edinburgh, a Roman Catholic cathedral. In the Eastern Church, the tradition survives that St. Andrew planted a cross at the present site of Kiev, Ukraine, where the act was commemorated by the construction of the Church of St. Andrew. Similar claims have been made in Poland and also in Romania, where it is said that St. Andrew founded churches in the region of Dacia. He is remembered each year in two important ways. His feast day is November 30th in the church calendar in both Eastern and Western Christian traditions. In the Anglican tradition, the first Sunday in Advent, the start of a new church year, always begins on the Sunday closest to the Feast of St. Andrew, the first called of the apostles. The collect for the feast day of St. Andrew is the version which Archbishop Cranmer revised for the 1552 or Second Book of Common Prayer. According to church historian Massey Shepherd, it is the only known revision by Cranmer himself of one of his 1549 prayer book collects. Almighty God, who didst give such grace unto thy holy apostle St. Andrew, that he readily obeyed the calling of thy Son Jesus Christ and followed him without delay, grant unto us all that we, being called by thy holy word, may forthwith give up ourselves obediently to fulfill thy holy commandments through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Anglican tradition in America, St. Andrew was commemorated in the special verses for the hymn From All the Saints in Warfare, written by Horatio Nelson in 1864 AD, and as I noted at the beginning, published with the 1892 hymnal sung to the tune Aurelia. Praise Lord for thine apostle, the first to welcome thee, the first to lead his brother, the very Christ to see. With heart for thee made ready, watch we throughout the year, forward to lead our brethren to own thine advent near. The music was performed by Richard Irwin, www.hymnswithoutwords.com. If you like a PDF of all four pages of the hymn from the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, please send an email request to me at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. Thank you for joining me for Episode 1 in the Lives of the Saints First Series, the 1928 BCP Saints. These and other teaching videos and seasonal videos are available on our YouTube channel, https://www.youtube.com/C/St. John C, or a better way by using the episode links at http://www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/digital-library.html, or just simply go to the website itself and click on the tab for the digital library page. I also invite you to visit our virtual bookstore showing our historical prayer teaching and other publications at https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and use its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.